All right, let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day, and I thank you for this opportunity that we have to come together and worship, and I thank you for the youth, for everything they've done in getting this ready. And God, I ask that the words of my mouth be pleasing in your sight, God, as you've touched me, as you've given me your word to share, God, I just ask that I can touch the people here, God, by my words and by my actions, God, and help us be able to truly focus on what love looks like, but not our kind of love, God, your love. I ask this in your son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen. All right. My papers. All right. What is love, anyway? Is it just something you say half-heartedly, or does loving someone actually mean something more? In today's world, the lines have become blurred when it comes to what love actually is and what it means. Let's look at the characteristics of God's love and see if we can figure out what love should really be. It's the same verse that Trevor just read. It says, love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud. It does not dishonor others, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. Love never fails. These are the characteristics of God's love, his unconditional and fulfilling love that is for each and every one of us. Funny thing is, God calls us to have that kind of love for other people. It's crazy that we could have a love that we could love the same way that God loves. Most of the time, we have a filio type of love, which is temporary and often fades away when the initial passion and interest wear off. But God's type of love, which is described in the passage, is agape love. Love that endures forever and is indescribable. His love is so great, he sent his son to die on the cross for our sins. And it wasn't a painless and quick or even subtle death either. He was beaten, mocked, spit on, stabbed, and hung on a cross to suffocate. That's how the crucifixion worked. The way they nailed Jesus' body to the cross made it so he would slowly sink downwards and not be able to breathe correctly. The nails they drove in his hands severed the median nerves, causing excruciating pain and paralyzing his hands. That, God's sacrifice of his only son, is true love. But the cool thing about it is, God's love enables us to love others as he loves us. Now I'm going to go, if you want to turn with me to 1 John 3:16. It says, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. What is this verse saying? That just as Christ laid down his life for us, we should in turn lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. Give them the things they need. Have pity for one another and be willing to help them out. It also says, dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. That means don't let your love stop with your words. You can say you love someone all you want to, but it doesn't mean you do. But if you show someone that you do, they won't even have to ask you. They'll know because of your actions. Whether it's someone you know or not, your actions toward that person speak way, way louder than your words. Now, if you want to turn with me to Luke 6, 27 through 36. I forgot to tell you, I'm bebopping around. Luke 6, 27. Starts at 27. Jesus says, but to you who are listening, I say, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. If someone slaps you on the cheek, turn to them the other also. If someone takes your coat, do not withhold your shirt from them. Give to everyone who asks you, and if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect payment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, because He is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Jesus is saying to basically do the opposite of our human nature. I don't know about you, but if someone slapped me, I wouldn't be eager to turn the other cheek. I'd be ready to turn their cheek. But Jesus calls us to be different, to be like Him and not the rest of the world, to live and love like He did, not how everyone else does, or in most cases, doesn't. Jesus also says in this passage, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. The golden rule. We've been taught this lesson over and over and over and over again since childhood. Why is it so important? Because it is against the grain of what the world normally does. Everyone wants payback and revenge, but that's not how Jesus wants us to act. No matter what people say or do to us, He wants us to act out of love and mercy, not bitterness and retribution. He also says, if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. He goes on to say, but love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, because He's kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. God wants us to love the people who hate us, persecute us, and belittle us. Why? Because that is a true act of God's love and mercy at work in our lives. He wants us to love people even when it's hard to. Loving those who love you and whom you get along with is way easier than to love someone who either you can't stand or someone who could care less about you. They might not care, appreciate it, thank you for it, or even notice it, but that's okay. You don't always do it for the people because your reward doesn't come from them, it comes from God. We live before Him, so therefore we should do things out of love for others because that's what He wants us to do and what He calls us to do as His children. One more verse. Okay. If you didn't bring a Bible today, you need to bring it next Sunday. Watch Miss Melinda get 5 of them. You're welcome. You've been taught since you were 5 to bring your Bible. This is why. It was for this day right now. Yep. All right. Mark 12, 20. Okay. Mark 12, 29 and 31 through 31. Jesus talking about the greatest commandment. The most important one, answered Jesus, is this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this. Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. Here Jesus says that we should love God with all of who we are first and foremost, to keep God number one in our lives. The second thing He tells us to do is love our neighbors as ourselves. As brothers and sisters in Christ, we should love each other so much that if unbelievers should walk in our doors and see how we act towards one another, they would see a love that they've never seen before, forgiveness that they've never seen before, sacrifice for one another, and just a great amount of love that the rest of the world doesn't have. Are we showing the world these things? Not just at church where it's easier to, but out and about every single day. We're God's representatives. What we do, how we act, what we say, and how we treat people reflect Him. Are we reflecting the love and type of character that God calls us to do? Or are we blending in with the world? And I said this last year in my message, but don't let this message leave your mind after today. Don't just come up and say, good job, Matt, and then go home and forget about it in 2 days. I know, it happens. But you need to remind yourself every day to show love towards others. God wants us to walk in love. Love isn't something that you can automatically show to every single person you meet. Some people are harder to love than others. But the Bible says to put on love, to make the conscious decision to be more loving. We need to be conscious about how we're showing love to others, just like how we are about what clothes we're going to put on in the morning. I challenge each and every one of you to go out of these doors and to show love to everyone. What godly love. Show them what godly love looks like. And I have a poem to share that I found. It was really funny. I had just decided to do the message on love, and I found a poem downstairs on the clipboard in the youth room. I don't know if anybody of you know Shannon Knox. August 22nd, 2004. But I read the poem and I thought it fit. I had to share it. The title of her poem is "Love is Unstoppable." No one knows what will happen tomorrow, or even 1 second from now. No one knows the future. All we know is we're loved, loved by God and our family. Love our family, but do we say it enough? Do we say, "I love you from the bottom of my heart" every day? Do they know how much their love means to us? No. What if something happened to them or us? Will they know? Will they know that their love is what got us through the day? Will they know how much the hugs and kisses meant? Why wait to tell them? We don't know what is in our future. They should know how you feel. Have you talked to God? Have you asked Him for forgiveness for the wrong? And have you thanked Him for the right? Have you told Him how much you love Him? He knows. But you should always tell your loved ones how much you love them, how you love them with each breath of your life. Love is irreplaceable. Thank you, God, for all my loved ones and letting me share my life with them. I've been blessed with love as strong as ours. In a heartbeat, but our love will live in its place. Love is unstoppable. And it says, Shannon wrote this poem shortly after beginning her senior year at Harnett Central High. She died just after in a car accident with her mom. She was 17 years old. And she understood just how important love really is for your friends, family members, and for God. She got it. Now, do you guys get it? And James, if you would play the video. That's a powerful story of why we shouldn't take each other for granted, why we shouldn't take every day for granted, because we don't know if one day is going to be our last or not. You can wake up and spend your life doing all these different types of things, saying, "Oh, it's not going to matter. I can do that. I can be mean to somebody. I can say this and that. It's not going to matter." You don't know if you're going to wake up tomorrow. You don't know if the other person's going to wake up tomorrow. This life's not something to take for granted, and the people that God allows you to be, be in contact with and be in fellowship with are not people to take advantage of either. And I have an illustration to show you guys. I'm going to get up and walk around instead of just standing at the podium all day. Yeah, I came in this morning and was like, what do you have a rope for? I'm like, well, you'll see later. I'm going to play jump rope with it. Come here, kids. All right, let me stretch it out. Okay. That's good enough. Okay. All right. Imagine this rope goes on forever. It doesn't. It's not as long as I thought it was. Imagine this rope is a timeline of your existence. And this little red part, this is your time on Earth. And it is crazy how many people spend so much time focusing on this little red part. I want to say that I didn't make this up. This is from Francis Chan, so I don't get in trouble for taking his idea. But so many people focus on this little red part. They're like, okay, I'm going to save here so I can really enjoy that part right there. And they don't even care about all this. We have a few short years here, and then we spend all of eternity somewhere else. And the Bible says that what we do and how we believe and just everything we do in this little red part affects all this. And I want you guys to understand that every decision you make, for the most part, affects this. You've got to be mindful of how your life is touching other people and whether or not that the decisions you're making are to enjoy this little red part or to get glory from God in this white part. Because some people think 80, 90 years is a long time, but it goes by. I was a little kid a couple years ago, and I'm already 16, about, you know, halfway going to college. Already getting college letters. Mom's crazy not even letting us drive yet because we don't have her license. She doesn't want us to grow up either. Come here, boy. I got you toys. Go play with toys. Don't get on your cell phone. But we have to be mindful of what we're focusing on. Are we saving up our money? Okay, I'll just give that 10% because later on in the 10 years I might have in the end of the red part, I'll enjoy it more. I'll be able to go on vacation more. I'll be able to spend more time with the people that I want to, and I'll be able to buy the things that I finally wanted, go on vacations, all this other stuff. And then you're not focusing on what God calls us to do while we're here. God doesn't call us to be here to just have fun and just do whatever we want, party, have fun, buy stuff. God wants us to have fun, but He wants us to focus on what He calls us to do, to act like Jesus, to be like Jesus. Not just live for this red part. It's not a long time. All right, that was it. Yeah, I'll just put that down. Okay. If today was your last day on this earth, would you be satisfied with how you've lived it, who you've lived it for, and how much you've loved others? Think about it. We don't have very long here at all. We get one chance at this life on earth, and then we're done. No do-overs, no going back to change anything. We get one chance. Why waste any time being bitter towards one another and hateful? There's already enough of that in the world, and it's our job to change that and let the light and love of Christ shine through our words, our actions, and how we're there for other people. I think so many times it's not that we say something hurtful or unkind to someone that we make the mistakes, but that we don't say anything at all. We pass up on the opportunities God has for us to use us because we're scared or unwilling to get out of our comfort zone. We just don't have time for that right now. God's priorities aren't in line with mine right now, so I'm going to do what I want to do instead of what He wants to do. The excuses can go on, and all we're doing is avoiding what God so clearly instructs us to do. So this week, and you know what, from here on out, I challenge you to be more mindful of how you're treating others, thinking about others, and what you're doing for others. Are you showing the love of Christ, or the bitterness and resentment and selfishness of this world. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day, and I thank you for this opportunity to speak and to give your message, God, and to talk about your word and your love. God, I just ask that you would give us all the strength and the love for one another to go out and make disciples, to go out and love others, Lord, whether we know them or not, or whether we're friends with them or not. God, there's so much hurt, there's so much pain, and there's so much hate in this world. And you've called us and you've changed us to make that difference. So God, from here on out, help us be able to be mindful of it. Help us be able to be determined to make that difference for your cause. Lord, I just ask all this in your Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen. And if you would turn to Just As I Am, hymn 357.